You know, we hear a lot nowadays on border, on our borders, to close our borders, build a wall, don't build a wall. And I know, I don't understand, I guess. To me, it's pretty simple. We owe it to our country, to each other, to make sure those who are coming into the country are here not to harm us, but to become Americans, okay? I'm all for people coming to America. I want to be here too, okay? But we have certain ways of coming into America, and we need to, you know, we need to protect it. And it kind of reminds me, like my house, you know? I have a doorbell for my house. You know that? And those who want to enter my house legally will ring my doorbell. And I'll come to the door, and I'll open it up and see who they are first. And then I'll decide whether I want them to come into my house. Okay? Now, it could be a company of gas or a gas company repairman shows up. I'm here to fix your gas leak or whatever it might be. And he'll have an ID with him. He'll probably have a uniform. He'll have a truck down there. It looks like a gas company. I'll allow him in. Okay? Now, there still is a 1% of 1% chance that that guy bumped the guy off, the real guy down the road, and stored his outfit and coming in. But at least I got a pretty good chance he's coming in, okay? I'll allow him. I'm going to bet him first before he comes in. So I have a doorbell. You want to come in my house legally? No problem at all. But those who don't want to come in legally, I got a ball bat. Okay? Because I'm going to protect what's inside my house first, okay? Now, there can be reasons that you come in my house unannounced that are lawful, you know. And I'll restrain before I swing that bat because he may be being chased. We had a person years ago broke into a house because it was wintertime. It flooded up the Leyland. He went into the river. He's freezing to death. And he went to the lady's front door. And praise God, she came down with a shotgun. But she checked with him first before she did anything. Held him at gunpoint until we got there. But he didn't do it on to cause harm. Yeah. But there she was there to protect. So we know that we need to check what's coming into our house. We need to check. I truly believe what's coming into our country out of love, you know. If you come to my house today and you're bringing three kids with you and you want in my house and I'm not quite sure, I might put you up in a hotel room. I'll buy you some food to eat, okay? I'm still going to take care of you, but I'm going to protect my house, okay? Because I know there are outreaches there that even strap bombs to kids to come in, and, okay? Not me, I'm not going to love them. So that's what we want to do in our country. We just want to protect what's coming in, right? You all agree with that, I would say. Okay, love one another. America, we feed more people around the world than anybody else does. Okay? Okay? It's the same thing that we have with our own body. We are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit reigns here. Okay? Just as we are declaring that we want walls built, and I want doorbells and locks on my door, we need to watch our temple just as much. Because things slip in a lot easier, a lot quicker through our eyes and our ears, okay, and even through our mouth. So we got to watch what's coming in. We got to look at stuff and say, okay, is this good for me or not good for me? What am I ready to say? Is it going to be uplifting or is it going to be degrading? Okay, we need to do the same thing. And God wants to do that. So as we look at His Word, as we are here today, continuing to renewing our what? Yes, you got one. All right, renewing our minds, knowing that the Word of God is given to us for that purpose. Think of that. That's His love. You know, if you're in my house today, I want to protect you from anybody coming in, and I'm going to answer the door first before I invite them in. Right, Gail? You don't want somebody coming in there who's going to thump on you, right? Mm-hmm. Right, amen. That's just good policy. With us, it's the same way as Christians. We need to do the same thing in our life. What are we allowing into our life? What's coming in? And we got to look at the enemy. Sometimes the enemy, Satan, will dress himself up all kind of fancy. Anything he can do to get into your life. Amen? He knows you. He knows your wants. He knows your needs. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. Okay? But greater He that's in you than he that's in the world. We got to recognize that. But again, we just can't stand there and say, well, get as close to sin as we can, knowing that we got Christ in us. We need to stay away from that, not even entertain that. Right. Okay? And sometimes I know, when I was in school, especially in seventh grade, I played football, and I was a big kid, and I had a couple of mouthy kids on the team would always come around me, and I'd be right behind them. They'd be mouthing off to the other team because I figured I'm going to back him up and stuff like that, you know. I wasn't always there. One time he found that out. And so we can't be that way. What we need to do is make sure that we allow God's word to penetrate us, that we will catch these temptations when they come and shoot it down right then. Okay, knowing God's word. And if we can, for a second, if you want to turn to Genesis this morning, I'm going to share a scripture in there. Genesis chapter 1. I think it's 1. I should know. It's my message, right? No, it's God's message. Oh, it will be in chapter 2 and chapter 3, what I want to look at here. We've been plowing in Genesis at home the last couple of days. The first couple of chapters, just amazing. Just what, as you, if you guys do the same thing or not, you grab a verse, you think about it. I was out mowing grass and God was talking to me, so I came and got my Bible out and we started discussing two words. One thing was created, one thing was made. Wow, they're in the Bible. So what's the difference in them? So we spent a couple hours researching that. You know, just things like that. But we're going to see where we have to take things under control. We have to be aware of our enemies. And one thing Adam and Eve, when they were, God created them, one thing that, if I can say, they were addicted to was God. It says in Genesis where they walked with him in the cool of the evening. And it's mentioned at one time as when they finally fell into sin and they heard the Lord coming. So it leads you to believe that every day they walked with God, they had communication with God, because God created them for one reason, to hang out with him and tend the garden. Think of that. Again, that's something we need in the center of our life, knowing that you were created. God created us for fellowship with him, not for anything else. Okay? We got some bonuses and stuff going on, you know what I'm saying? But he created us. And we were born, like we said earlier, in sin, so we're separated from God. Out of his love, mercy, and kindness, man, that fellowship he wanted to bring back. You know, we all might have a friend right now today we're thinking of, we've been separated for a while. Man, you really miss them. I wish they'd just come back and, you know, I forgive them. They just come back and just talk to me, okay? Well, maybe we need to go to the friend. I'm not sure. You know your situation. But that's what God did. He loved us so much, we were separated in sin. He wanted us to come back to him. The only way you come back to us, we can go back to him, by him coming back to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Allow him in. Amen. Amen. That's how much he loves us. And we need to understand that love. That has to be top priority, because you don't know the love that God has for you, you're going to reject the scriptures when they speak to you. Mm-hmm. You understand that? You got to understand. When he says, don't do this, it's out of love. When he says, hey man, do this, hey, I want to bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have that foundation of God, that he loves us, he cares for us, he created us, he's got a plan and purpose for us, he only wants the best for us. If we don't have that in the root of us, then we'll reject everything else. We'll reject every one of his disciplines, you know? It's easy for everyone to look back today and look at our parents who disciplined us and really receive that discipline more today, because out of love that they didn't let me do the things I did. Okay? Out of love they disciplined me when I did the things I wasn't supposed to do, you know? Yes. But we look at him, and so we look at God today, we look at him through all the scriptures and stuff, see how much he was willing to do for us, how much he loved for us. And that love still goes on again today. It's still the same for us. But we look at Adam and Eve here for a second, and in chapter 2, we're going to talk about a thing in the garden called the tree. Now he put Adam in the garden, made Eve be with him, gave him all the food to eat. Eat from any tree you want, he says, right? But he says in verse 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Now, if you have your Bibles there, I'm going to read it again. Will you read it with me? Okay. Verse 17, chapter 2. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Okay? Now, let's jump over to chapter 3, verse 1. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the any tree of the garden? You shall not eat from any tree. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go back to chapter 2. Let's read verse 17. But from the tree of the knowledge, this is God speaking, of good and evil, ye shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, ye shall surely die. You hear that? Let's go back over here again to chapter 3, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat from it or touch it, or lest you die. And jump out at you.
Where did this apple come from?
Right. She tells the serpent.
But she misquoted scripture.
Right.
She said, or touch it. He didn't say that. She added to that. She put more restraints on the word of God than what God did. Think of this. He never said to touch it, you would die. If you eat from it. And man, I think that is a key word there. Because as she quoted back, now Satan knew what God said, okay? But when she quoted back, or touch it, least you will die. Now maybe, just maybe Adam threw that little piece on the end. Okay? Maybe Adam was trying to do the best he could in the garden because God gave him control of it. And his responsibility to watch out. That servant shouldn't even been in the garden. Right. Adam should have kicked it out.
Right.
Okay? Just maybe he wanted to really help his wife out. Say, listen, God told us, eat all this stuff. See all these pies you make me, honey? Yeah, all these jams and stuff. But see that tree there? God said, if you eat of it, if you even touch it, we're going to die. Maybe hoping to keep her from falling into temptation. Say, man, listen, I don't have a fruit, but I got a radish. Okay? So just think of this. He has taught his wife, don't even touch it, wanting the best for her.
Right.
Don't even touch it, lest you'll die. Well, when Satan comes along and tempts her, she reaches up and grabs the fruit. Boom. Has she sinned yet?
No.
She has not sinned yet. She could pull it down, walked over to her husband. Oh, look at this. And he could have said, what are you doing? Oh. But in her mind, excuse me, could you hand me that radish? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Thank you. But in her mind, whether she misheard it, well, Adam hung into it. When she went and pulled his fruit down, in her own mind, she's already dead.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well have to eat it now.
Yeah.
Is what she's thinking. She had not violated God's law yet.
Right.
But she didn't know that. And so she ate it. Condemned herself. And folks, today we're doing the same thing. We still are. Understand that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 to 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. So no temptation has overtaken you or come to me that isn't common to everybody else. Amen. In the garden, it was a fruit. The temptation was there. Okay, today we all type of different type of temptations, all leading to the same death. Okay, but what have we learned from Eve. Now we can say this. Don't even touch it. Amen?
Right.
Because if we grab a hold of it,
it leads to
sin. That's a temptation. Now, think of the temptation. Don't speak it out, but think of one temptation that you fight all the time. Because that's just, we all have that, that sin. Yeah. The Bible doesn't speak to that sin that overtakes you. We have that one sin we're always struggling with. Think of what that is. That isn't uncommon to anybody else in here. Don't think there's something wrong with you because Satan keeps coming back tempting you with that same thing again, okay? He won't give up. He will not give up. But we got to learn that the minute we see it, we got to cast it down. When that thought comes into your head, that thought that you're having is not sin. Satan will put one in your head. But the minute you grab a hold of that, it becomes sin. Understand that? Now, in the garden, she had to actually consume that.
Yeah.
Okay? Could touch it all she want. She could walk around for days. I wonder if she did. I mean, she could have had it for several days, not eating it yet. Maybe she got it and she hid it for a while. I don't know. I have no idea. But it wasn't sin. But today, under the grace of the Lord, He tells us, man, if we get to the point where we're even sinning in our mind, He says, He's talking about lusting, you know. He says, you know, guys, you're not committed adultery, but I'm telling you, if you even lust after a woman, you committed a sin. So when the thought comes in, we hang on to it, that turns into sin, okay? And now you think, well, I've already lusted, I'm going to go ahead and do it. No, because there's different levels of sin and different types of repercussions for sin. Amen? It can be. If you find yourself caught up in lust, repent from it and turn around. And then what caused you to do that? Okay? And so maybe it's the environment that you're at. Maybe something you're being involved with. I need to get away from that, you know? No doubt to me, Adam could have maybe built a fence around the tree. Electric fence. Think of that. Well, yeah, Chuck. Electric fence around that tree. That would, yeah, would keep his wife out, wouldn't it? Around his toolbox, around his garage, you know. But think of that, though. We can look back now to Adam. Why didn't you do something different? Well, he was new at this, okay?
Yeah.
But he has God's word. He should have done everything he could to keep that death, that sin from entering into the kingdom. He was in charge of it. Even though the wife did bring it to him, he was put in charge of it. You know that? So think about our lives today. What is that temptation that keeps coming after us? What are we doing with that? You know, if we hang on to that temptation, entertain it, then we're guilty of it. But how is it something that we're doing, allowing that temptation to come in? You know, think of it. If Adam could go back today with this technology, I'll guarantee you that he would have an electric fence. The speaker is my tree for a minute. And he would know that, well, I'm here to tend the garden. I go out and do some hoeing this morning, you know. So I'm going to turn that fence on to my wife. I don't want to fall in temptation. I love her, you know. But, you know, I can't say she's like her mother, you know. But anyway. But he would do everything he could to put around that temptation to keep her from going over the fence, okay? Because
cameras
only show that she committed it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, keep hitting me. Yeah. But you put that fence around to keep her from going into that temptation. And the same way we need to do in our lives. You know, we need to put that electric fence around our mind. Electric fence is the Word of God, that we don't let anything come in. And harbor it. Mm-hmm. To cast it down, to get rid of it. Because it still carries the same sentence. Right. It's death. Sin has never changed. Amen?
Right.
It hasn't. It still has one thing. Satan still comes to kill, steal, and destroy however he can get to us. He'll bring all type of temptations our way. He'll disguise himself. Yes. Yeah, I mean, we give him resources. Well, I guess it's his resources, you know. He says, up to us to protect. Amen? But it goes back to knowing that the thing that God wants us to know is that He loves us, that His Word is only good for us. Amen. It's only for our best. If we receive that, we walk a lot better with Him. You know, when I was a youngster at home, I had a brother, three sisters, we had three foster children in the house, you know. There'd be 8 or 10 of us around the table, you know. And we'd be outside playing, having a great time. But when supper was about ready, Mom might look at me and say, "Hey, Stark, go call your brothers and sisters in. Tell them to wipe their feet off and wash up for dinner." You know, all right. So I go out there and, "Hey, it's time to go eat." Now, I'm hungry. I was always hungry, you know. I'm still hungry today. But what's she telling me to do? Tell them to go wash up. Wipe the feet off, come in, supper table, dinner's about ready. So I go out there hungry, I want to eat now, you know. I'm not dirty because I've been around the table all day helping her cook, okay? "Hey guys, come on in, it's time to eat. Oh man, they come running in, you know, boom, boom, get around the table. And Mama said, "Get out of here. You're dirty." "But we're hungry, Starkey said come eat." "Well, didn't he tell you to wipe your feet off and wash up?" "No, he didn't. Starkey, you didn't tell them to..." "I told them that to clean up before they come in the kitchen to eat." So whose fault is it?
Yours.
Is it my fault in a way? Amen, it's my fault. Okay. They should have known better. You thought they should have known better. But my fault. She gave me a little simple message to give to the children. She loved them. She wants to feed them. She wants them in the house. She cooked all day for them, okay? But they got to do their part and wipe their feet off and wash up. Okay? Out of love, she did all that work. Amen? God is the same way. And we look at His Word, we need to see the same way, same perspective as my mama. And we do that, it's only for... We won't get upset. We won't get mad. I mean, I'll go, "Hey guys, it's time to eat dinner, but you got to wipe your feet off and wash up first. Mama said you're not coming in the house, and she made chili con carne tonight. Come on." Wow. So they're all washing up because, man, they're getting prepared to come in. "Thank you, Starkey, for calling us." You know, maybe they might say, "Thanks, Stark." Might not acknowledge me. But how excited they're going to be that I was able to bring them in to the house by telling them the truth. Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, if we turn... If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for a second, and we got to look at this from a mama's point of view, but this is God, the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul, sharing this with us. And we have to receive this the same way that God wants us to be with Him. Amen? He wants to have eternity with Him. He wants us to come into heaven, to hang out, to spend all eternity with Him. But, just like mama said, you got to wipe your feet off, and you got to clean up, He tells us the same thing here. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 into 11, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Or if I can put it this way, "Or don't you know that those with dirty feet and dirty hands are not entering mama's kitchen?" Well, we're not. No, don't be deceived, he says. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or idolaters, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, or the revilers, the swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." Now, that is God telling us, okay? We're not going to enter in. And somewhere in there, we should find yourself at one time or another. Amen? That's God's love to us, telling us, "Hey man, I want you with me for Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy." And some of you have fallen into temptation, he's saying, okay? This here, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And when we share that, as I share it with you today, some of you might get upset, "Well, who are you to tell me this?" I'm just God's voice speaking to you what He has already spoken. This is God's love for you, telling you up front. You know, fornicating, having sex outside of marriage, shacking up, is a sin. God wants us to know that. Stealing is a sin. Whether you're stealing from your employer, you're stealing from your tax return, or you're walking in the bank robbing it, it's still a sin. Okay? And that's an awesome thing to know that, because in our minds, we can find different ways of stealing, can we not? And try to justify it. Well, I should be making $10 an hour, so I'm going to steal these tacos when I leave there. I like extra hot sauce on mine. Or I work down at Anna's, I'm grabbing a couple of flags because they don't pay me. We can try to justify it in our mind, but theft is still theft. And out of his love for us, hey, don't be deceived, he says. Well, thank you, God. Because now I understand, because I knew a lot of people that worked in factories that stole from the factories all the time, trying to justify it because, well, they don't treat us good, or they don't do this, they don't do that. Did you not agree to work for them?
Right.
Didn't you agree I'll work for you for $6 an hour? Okay, that don't give us the right to steal. So we understand that. Now, out of his love, he tells us that. He says, or thief, covetous, always want something more. We have to watch that. I mean, covetous, when you got stuff just to have it. If you're worshiping that thing, you know, oh, we have to watch that. It gets in our heart. We can't have that. He says, drunkards, you know. Man, you cannot be drunk. As this alcohol, this drugs, is everything. You know, we cannot be drunk all the time. No, don't say that. Don't do that. Swindlers. First thing that comes to mind is used car salesmen. Okay. Now, listen, not all of them. No. Listen to me. But you know, sometimes that's what comes to mind. But how about yourself? Do you ever sell something to people? Do you ever even try to swindle out anything? You ever stretch this truth? Sorry. Yeah, I have that. I see it quite often, even around here. How do they swindle? They had this need. Oh man, I just... If I had $20 at Epic Gas in my car, and I could do this and that, okay? Knowing that your heart is so soft. Right. Well, here's $20. Okay? I might put gas in my car with it. But I go down the street here. Yeah. I go down the street here and I stop at McDonald's and grab my dinner, you know, my other money I had. And then I go buy my cigarettes and my beer and all that kind of stuff. I go to the movies. That's swindling out of money. Yeah. You understand? I mean, yes. And there's a whole lot of swindling going on in this nation right now. Okay? I mean, don't get sucked into it. Swindling is taking things illegally. It's one step under theft, I guess you might say it. But being... Oh man, by changing your conversation, changing your paperwork for applying for government funding, that kind of stuff, that's all swindling the government out of stuff. And you might say, well, my government, that's my money. Well, it's our money, amen? But we have to go by the rules. We've got to change the rules. Just things like that. You say, man, if you're part of that, then you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Revelators, those who constantly steer. Never happy. Always causing chaos. Don't look at nobody. Husbands and wives don't look at each other. But always. Never happy. Always stirring stuff up. Man. No, that's not good. Well, he says, idolaters. Idolatry is putting things before God. Some people put money before God. Entertainment before God. They put our salary before God. You know? God is a jealous God. I have no other God before me. Where do you spend your time at? You know, think about that. Well, committing adultery. Okay? I mean, that's easy to understand that one. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that, he says. And again, but the master said also, if you even lust after a man or woman in your heart, you committed adultery. Then he says, nor any homosexuals. Okay? And that's God's love. He tells us that. I don't know why, of all the sins we're not supposed to do, why everyone jumps on that and says, oh, come on now. I got a right. You have a free will to do whatever you want to. I'm just telling you. God said, man, if you get sucked into the sin, if you stay there, man, we're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. You know, that's God's love. Amen? Amen. And again, sin is out there. Trying to tempt us all the time. And just some sins you fall into, some sins you don't. But God set you free from every one of them. But what Satan is trying to do, he's trying to shut our mouths from presenting the gospel. That's why we have all this stuff. I mean, I don't understand. why we always have to glorify that one certain sin.
Right.
I don't understand that. My heart breaks for folks that think they have to do that, you know. It really does. I pray for them, you know. I don't ever see a liar's pride parade, or whatever you want to call it, you know, all the liars come together. It's sin. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I guess. I won't talk about Congress, never mind. But folks, everyone who's committing adultery, meet me here tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to pray up down Main Street and carry our signs. No. Why? Probably because you're ashamed of what you're involved with. Amen? I mean, we've all fallen into sin. Okay? And we in sin, we get ashamed. We want, oh man, I'm so embarrassed. God, forgive me. Boom, boom. But this one, which is being caught like wildfire, and that's homosexuality, they're parading it like, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And that has to be confronted lovingly. We have to share that. But that sin is being shoved down the throats of our children. It's being taught that, yes, be this way. I mean, and folks, again, if you're here committing adultery, man, I'll pray with you. If you're a thief, if you're practicing homosexual, God will set you free from that. That's the good news of the gospel. But if we don't share that, lovingly share that, how will people know? You know, he tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Again, we have to look at this going back to mama calling the kids in to eat. This is I love you, but wipe your feet off, clean your hands off. And the messengers, if they're not giving the same message, those are not coming around the table to eat. Us as Christians, lovingly, I'm saying, if we don't share that when given the opportunity, how will people know?
Right.
Remember, love the sin, but love the sinner, but hate the sin.
Yeah,
amen. But in Galatians chapter 5, let me get the big book out here. It kind of reiterates the same thing here, but I'll share this here, then we'll take that with us today when we leave. But Paul tells us in verse 19. Well, let me. I'm going to start with verse 17. I'm in chapter. Did I tell you what chapter? Chapter 5. It says, "For the flesh sets its desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." Otherwise, the spirit of God in us is always fighting the flesh, because the flesh is the one that wants to sin, right? And the spirit doesn't want to. So, praise God, we got a battle going on. We haven't surrendered to sin anymore. "For there are in opposition one to another, so you may not do the things that you please." So anytime we sin, something inside of us is telling us we're getting ready to sin. Okay? As a Christian, the Spirit of God does that. Now, not born again, we have this thing inside of us that can convince us that we're doing okay. That we can be in sin because, well, you don't understand my situation. Let me tell you about my situation, Carol. I explain every reason in the world why I live in sin, wherever it might be, because I've justified it in my mind. Okay? As I was explaining that to you, or I'll pick on Tim. I'll tell you, I know it. You don't understand my wife. Oh, my land's sake, you know? And so I start giving excuses for maybe having an affair, okay? And I just, she don't understand me. She don't like my hair being long. She wants to wear a different shoe. I give you all these reasons to have this. I'm talking to you. I'm justified it. But then you say, suck up, Buttercup. But you say, but Starkey, listen. Man, that's not right. The Word of God says that's not right. You know what I'm saying? You need to come together, you know. So what we have to do is share that. I mean, I'll make my own decision. But as a Christian, just to share that. God says this, you know. And give me some thought process. What happens a lot of time, I don't blame you. I do the same thing.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I know, even as someone sharing with a Christian. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. And folks, we're called to share God's love. Okay? I mean, I've been there before, I understand. I used to think the same way, but let me share what the Word of God says. At least represent God in this conversation, because otherwise, our loved ones or friends or whoever's confiding, he's going to hell.
Kind of like, let me show you what God did for me.
A lot of times, yeah. It seems like God will bring people into our lives that's coming from the same area we came at one time, because we can relate to it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's awesome to read history, but to share your history is a lot more, more impact. Yes. Well, you can say to them, say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He said, okay, follow the Spirit. The Spirit will never lead you into sin. I'm in verse 18. Understand that. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. Okay? So if you're being led into sin, it's not from God. No matter how much people try to convince you of it, you know. Oh my. But in verse 19, it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, emanence, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, out of love, he is telling us that. Out of love, man. Hey, if we're going to practice this stuff, these are sins. If we're going to practice it, we're not going to see the kingdom of God. You think, well, how fair is that, God? I mean, Jesus died for my sins. Why are you telling me now you died for sinners? Hey, I'm the reason you died for. You ought to be happy that I'm sinning. But we've all sinned. But the key point there is, those who practice such things, if you're practicing sin, you're going to get better at it. Do you ever know anyone who lies? I know a couple of people that lie so awesome. I'm serious. They lie about anything. I don't care what it is. I mean, yes, they are so good at lying that they can sit there and talk to you forever. And every word they said was lying. But you're convinced. Well, they've been practicing lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Themselves. They convince themselves. They're even hard to figure out sometimes, you know. Not for me, though. The old cop in me. Takes me 2 minutes, I got your program, I can tell you whether you tell me the truth or not. So, no. But out of his love, he said, man, if you're going to practice these things, man, you're not going to see. But he does tell us also, and we'll go catch up next week, that to draw nearer to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nearer to God, he'll draw nearer to you. And so, there's one thing to be practicing sin, is another thing to be fighting sin. Think of that right now. Maybe, you know, if we talk today, think about that one sin that always tempts you. You're always fighting it. Awesome. Keep resisting. Draw nearer to God. That's what you're doing today. You come into the house of God. You listen to the Word. We're praising with one another and stuff like that. And you're resisting it. And you're going to leave here today. Man, I'm not going to fall back in that temptation no more. And you got this thing all lined up. And you're going to do a lot better today than you did last week. You're resisting the devil. Okay? You're not embracing it. But just, it makes sense. If my mama called everybody in for supper, and my brother decides to stay out there and play in the dirt, in the sandbox, in the mud, he ain't coming in, is he? Same way, if we continue to stay in sin, man, we will not see the kingdom of God. Out of love, he tells us that. And that's very hard for those who aren't born again to convince them of that, because they know a couple words of God. God is love. And he is love. But they don't know that he's a just God. That the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom of God. No matter how much we love them, how a good a person they are. Sin is sin. And it's so hard. I mean, what's the best way to get your kids' attention when you're raising them? A lot of times, to get a point across, we took the allowance, right? We grounded them, didn't we? Yeah. Well, God's the same way. What did you do? Smack him on the butt?
Yep.
Did he not say? He didn't say beat your kids up. But it's better to feel the stings on the rear of a hand than the stings of the fires of hell. That's a quote there from the Word of God, yes. So our loving Father does the same thing today. You know, sometimes he has to take away in order to get our attention as a country and stuff. But if we stay faithful to the Lord, we know that our needs will be met. And our needs. But we're only here for a short time. This place ain't our home. We don't need to worry about offending people, lovingly offending people. If we share God's truth and it offends them, at least we've done what God called us to do, because we need to want to see other people in heaven more than we want to see ourselves in the local card club or bingo, whatever it is that we're going to be kicked out of. You know, I mean, right now is getting the point if you're certain. I mean, a lot of times the Democrats and Republicans are fighting back and forth, and Republicans don't eat a certain place anymore. You know, now the Republicans are going to start keeping the Democrats out of restaurants. But that's just the beginning, because someday they'll say no Christians allowed. I mean, I'm just saying that's an antichrist spirit, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to argue. We don't need to protest. Oh, let me eat there. No, you don't want. I'll go somewhere else. My land's sakes, I'll go home. My wife can cook for me. You know what I'm saying? We don't. Well, what I'm saying, don't get brought into all this back and forth stuff. You know, our number one goal is uplift the Lord, pray for our country, pray for our leaders, but pray for God would say that His desire not one would perish. Amen? Amen. Amen. We'll pick up there for next week. I know a lot of you got questions. What does it mean, sorcery and all this kind of stuff? You know, so we'll break it down. But again, no temptation has overcome you that has never attempted somebody else. And we can come through anything. Yeah. If you got a temptation that you're in all the time, you can't get loose from it, and you're praying, you need a prayer partner. You know, and that's what you got a pastor for. And you say, oh, pastor, I can't tell you what my sin is. No. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what that temptation is. I'm here to pray with you. And that's what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Understand that. Because I don't care what it is. Satan will find that soft spot somewhere and try to drill us and drill us and drill us. And we can be set free from that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the strength you've given us and encouragement we have here in fellowship today, Lord. And God, we just thank you for all the blessings you give us and that we have hope for today and hope for tomorrow. You God, I look around the room here today. I just thank you, Father, I'm not alone. And we have many who have placed their trust in you. And we're hearing the word. And we just pray, Father God, that as we leave here today, that we'll leave encouraged with a desire to hang out with you, to love you, and to share when given the opportunity, your word. And Lord, as we give you our praise this morning, we sang from our hearts to you. And God, today we just return back to you a portion of what you've given to us through our tithes and offerings. And we do it joyfully. Father, we just ask you to bless this offering today, that your wisdom be continued to be attached to this ministry you've given us, that we may continue to encourage one another here in the assembly and continue to shine your light to our household and to the world around us. That those in darkness, Father God, will come to know you as Savior and Lord. And may we rejoice with you as they come. And we do give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.